edit. To do so would be presumptuous on man's part. God's choice of his words belong to him and not to us. Sometimes in the translation process, we feel as if we just have a whole bunch of synonyms to grab from and to insert them into the text. And my friends, that could not be further from the truth. Well, it's good to have you with us today. I see that we have several Bible students that are joining us. I see that Brother Javon Jesse has joined us on the TGRN side. It's good to have him back. My apologies to all of those who were not able to make a clean, clear transition from the Facebook Live to the YouTube Live, but we're grateful that you are able to be with us at this time. Sister Sainer has joined us from Southern Oklahoma. I heard from a cousin of mine that it was going to be 74 degrees in Central Oklahoma today. And so what a difference a week makes. If you don't like the weather in Oklahoma, just wait and it will change very rapidly. I see that Sister Woodall is joined us from the northern woods of Wisconsin, and it's always good to have y'all with us. I know that others will be joining us along the way as well. Well, this week we've reopened a series that we actually started several weeks ago and then put by the wayside, and that series was entitled Generation to Generation, taken out of a particular Hebrew expression is found in many verses in your Bible. In fact, if you just type in to your search engine, if you type in the phrase generation to generation, then you will find that there is a particular phrase that comes up, and it's the idea behind Psalm 145. Where the psalmist says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless my name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. So from generation to generation. It's the same concept spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that I must first be invested in the Word of God. I must first obey the Word of God and know the Word of God, and then I can pass it on to the next generation. And so that series we reopened yesterday with a discussion of creativity and how important creativity is to the mind of man. Our God is a creator. Now, his creation is to bring something out of nothing. That's bara, right? In the beginning, God created bara. He brought something out of nothing. But in later on, in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and Genesis 2 and 7, it says that he made man, yasad. He made man, and that is taking the elements that already existed and molding and fashioning them into something different. So it's not bringing something out of nothing. It is utilizing the material that exists and creating something that has that this was not before. That's yasad. That's the idea of make. Man is both created and made. We are made from the dust of the ground. Woman is made out of the resources of that, from the rib that was taken from Adam's side. And so, but creativity, the necessity of it, is seen in the areas of judgment, expediency, how to carry out the will of God. Now, the church where you worship at in Washington or Oklahoma or Texas or wherever it might be, you might be worshiping at a different time. all five elements of worship are there, but you might have them in a different order. There's a lot of leeway with regards to the generic commands of God. And so as such, but listen, we can never take the generic commands and make them specific. That would be anteism. Nor can we take the specific commands and make them generic. That would be liberalism. What we're saying is creativity is necessary in the expedient and in the opinion aspect of things. There are some things that are just a matter of opinion in regards to how we live our lives. And so those things demand creativity. That's why some men excel and some men do not. Some of that excelling and not excelling is all about creativity. How do I utilize the resources God gave me to the best use in my life and for my family? That's creativity. Today, we're going to be focusing upon the idea of compassion. Now, it is said that sympathy is feeling sorry for people who are hurting. I feel for you. Empathy is said to be feeling the pain with hurting people. That is, you may have at one time been in that same area, and you may have felt that same kind of hurt. You're not really feeling the hurt now. That is, but you empathize with that. That's the idea of empathy. You're feeling the pain with hurting people. I know what it's like. I've been there, right? But compassion is doing something about the pain. Now, there are some people who are sympathetic and do nothing. There are some people who are empathetic and still do nothing. And then there are some people who are compassionate. Compassionate people are always understood by their activity. What are they actually doing in response to that? You remember the question of Jesus. And I don't want to get too far into our lesson in the introduction area here, but you remember what Jesus said. Which one of the three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, had compassion upon him that fell among the thieves? Well, listen, one of them had sympathy. One of them had empathy, may have had either one of those, but neither one of the first two had compassion. Even this warped Pharisee understood that the one who helped was the one who had compassion. And that is the way that the Bible is going to utilize that term. And we hope to be able to exploit that in a good way today. In our lesson of from generation to generation, that is, one generation needs to develop in the next generation a sense of compassion. And I believe that's one of the areas that we have truly lost in our society, is the ability to have compassion upon one another. Compassion is oftentimes misdirected and is utilized incorrectly. And then sometimes it gets so frustrating at times that people just give up on any kind of compassion at all. And I don't want us to get into either one of those false senses of compassion. And so from generation to generation, what really is compassion, and how can we help develop that in the next generation? Well, my friends, I do want to extend an invitation to you to come and join us anytime that you're in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area. We would love to have you. That's the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. We're just a stone's throw away from Memphis, Tennessee. Well, it wouldn't be a bike ride for me, but for a good, healthy person, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump. But we would love to have you come by and join us. every Sunday morning at 685 Nesbitt Road, every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We'd love to have you come by and join us for our Bible studies. Let's see here. What else do I have? The 5th Annual Men's Development Conference is progressing closer and closer to that. June the 2nd through the 6th, the BCS Church of Christ there in College Station, Texas. We'd love to have you there. I saw that the registration was open, and so if you would like to go to the BCS Church of Christ there on their website, you can register, and it will tell you a little bit more about the registration as you develop. Let's see, what else? Oh, WJHF, if you're listening to us via that radio station, we're glad that you've joined us. We hope that Reflections is one of those daily Bible studies that you can have with us. And I want to always encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call for their COVID times of services. So let's see here. The phone number today is 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have a song. And then we'll have the Bonner Biblical Minute. And then we'll get to another song and a lesson. I do see that Sister Jensen from the state of Washington and Miss Joyce has joined us from Texas. Always good to have our fellow Bible students. If you would like to chat online with us, you can do that at the YouTube live stream. We are live streaming at this time from the Nesbitt Church of Christ YouTube channel. And so that's, go to YouTube, then go to the Nesbitt Church of Christ, and you should be able to get live streamed with us. On the radio side, we are on the gospelradionetwork.org, and then, of course, on WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area. All right, well, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And, I do want to mention this. I have not mentioned this, and my humble apologies for this, but our good brother, Terrence Brownlow Dendy has been in the hospital with COVID. I understand he was released and is doing much better. My apologies, though, for not mentioning that earlier. I think he went in on late last week and was out by Monday. He was doing so much better, but it was my understanding now. I hope that I have all the details correct, that he had double pneumonia as well as COVID. And so it was a very serious situation for him. But we're glad that he was able to be back and going strong. All right, so let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and then we'll have our song. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're mindful of all of the great gifts that you have disposed upon humanity, the safety of our sleep, the beauty of this day, the wonders of thy creation, the opportunity that we have to experience redemption. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of the great sacrifice that you made in sending thy Son to die upon the cross, the great sacrifice that he made in experiencing the depths of the horrific nature of sin upon the cross, the brutality of humanity against his physical person. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that we might always, each and every day, that we might pause to remember that great, glorious, and grand sacrifice. But as we gather together every Sunday, our Heavenly Father, may that be a central focus in our preaching, our teaching, and our activities of worship. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that you be with the Dendy family, that you strengthen them physically, that no other individual within that family will have to experience COVID and that Brother Dendy might be strengthened. The kingdom is in great need of men such as this. We're so pleased that we can work with him on an occasional basis, and we love him, we love his family, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you be with all of those who are suffering through these difficult times. Strengthen our resolve always to live faithful to thee. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Who's that walking down the road carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're
walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me.
Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there.
Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load.
Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Young folks walking hand in hand and singing with the angel band.
Old folks ain't so tired and worn. They're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load.
Jesus said he'd walk
along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, what a beautiful song it is, but I want us to spend just maybe a minute, max, dealing with a biblical minute with Brother Bonner's notes, and I've got them here, and the notes for today I've taken from a message back in 2020, and so I want to share them with you today. He writes and he says, all of us are in this world together. All of us are navigating through through with the Word of God. It's interesting, the world and the Christian experience the exact same thing today. I stumbled upon this morning, he says. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Romans 8:22. For this reason we preach Christ and him crucified. For the purpose we take up the whole armor of God. For this reason we preach the day of God is nearer than yesterday. Romans 13 and verse number 11. There is only one relevant question to answer. What is my status with Jesus? We're all in this chaos together. So he says, preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. Oh, I tell you what, I'll be glad when we can have Brother Mike Bonner back with us and things settle down and in his affairs, and we can be able to have him back. I'm always encouraged by my good brother and the wonderful work that he does. Now, in order to transition, I found this song by Brother Paul Mays, and it's one that I had not heard before, and I thought it went really well with the one that with the topic of today. So here we go with Brother Paul Mays on Bear Ye One Another's Burdens.
Bear ye one another's burden so fulfill the law of Christ. We were meant to help each other. Helping makes our burdens light. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. We were meant to build each other. Building makes our burdens light. Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. We were meant to serve each other. Serving makes our burdens light. Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. We were meant to love each other. Loving makes our burdens light.
All right, I thought you might enjoy that particular song. I know that I certainly did. And it's a little different than some of the songs that he normally sings, but it's always one taken right out from the scriptures. And that's what I love about his songs, is that he takes them right out of scripture. Well, our scriptures today coincide with his scripture of Galatians 6 and verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, right? And so fulfill the law of Christ. Romans 12 and verse number 15 admonishes or challenges the child of God to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Now, as we mentioned in the introduction to our broadcast, there are a couple of words that we utilize today, and I wanted to go back over how we utilize those words today. Words such as sympathy and empathy and compassion. That generally speaking, we use the word sympathy for the idea of feeling sorry for people who are going through some difficult times, who are hurting. We use the word empathy to suggest that we are feeling the pain with hurting people. In other words, I have gone through, I have experienced what you are experiencing, and I've gone through that, so I can empathize with that person, right? But the word compassion is a word that is utilized meaning to do something about the pain that exists. Now, I suppose that I could have compassion upon an individual and not know in relationship to how to handle all and get them through the pain and the hurt, but the word compassion means I'm doing something about it. You see, that's how this word, is utilized in our Bibles. So what is it that we're actually talking about when we talk about compassion? Sometimes the word is not compassion in our Bibles. For example, there are times in which this, you might see this phrase, bowels of mercy or bowels of compassion. It comes from a particular a Greek word, original word that simply means pity or sympathy. And it refers to the seat of tender affections. In other words, the most bottom element, the foundation of all of our affections in relationship to that. You know, by the way, that is a good question that is asked. And what is the difference between compassion and mercy? Sometimes there's such an overlap between compassion and mercy that there is no difference. The word may be mercy in the original and translated compassion in our English language, or it might be something similar to that. You'll notice, and we've talked about this, the difference between mercy and grace revolves around the care of someone, but grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So mercy, that's why our hospitals are generally spoken of as Mercy Memorial rather than having the name Grace. Grace is sometimes used, but most of them it's mercy in there, because mercy implies taking care of the needs of those who are hurting. And that's the aspect of mercy. So mercy and compassion are really good synonyms in regards to this. But mercy implies, like compassion, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Mercy may be seen, I tell you, the maybe even the main difference is how we sometimes use the word. For example, sometimes we will say they had compassion. Who had compassion upon the man caught among the thieves? Well, the one who aided him, right? The Samaritan who aided him, not the priest, not the Levite, but the Samaritan. He had compassion on him. That stemmed from the mindset of mercy. So absolutely, they can be used interchangeably, because the definition of compassion is the ideal of tender affections. It means to be moved with compassion. This is Jesus oftentimes responded this way, correct? When he saw something, he had compassion on that individual, and it moved him. You see, compassion, like mercy, is something that moves that person to action. The Hebrew word simply means to love deeply. It means to have mercy, to have tender affections, and is used to describe a father's love for his children, a mother's love for her children. The mercy that God shows on his people is sometimes referred to as compassion, right? And another word for compassion is the one that is used in relationship to the, you remember the wicked servant who was forgiven much because it says that the king had compassion upon him, but he showed no compassion. Even though he owed much and received compassion, he gave no compassion in regards to, in other words, he didn't have any pity, he didn't have any mercy, and he wasn't about to show mercy. And so Sister Woodall is absolutely correct. He was merciful. God is all merciful. We are to be merciful, right? That's one of the Beatitudes that we talked about in regards to the attitude that a child of God ought to have. We ought to be merciful because we have received mercy. So compassion is the idea of responding, or the act of responding to the deep need that other people have. And so I can show my compassion. It's a word similar to love in this sense, that love is not really love as long as it's only invested in the mind. And compassion is not really compassion if I can walk on by, you see. And so notice here, compassion. Pharaoh's daughter had compassion upon Moses, right? As a babe, as that baby was floating in that ark, and she saw him when she when she opened up Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 6, she opened it up, that is the basket, and she saw that child, and behold, the baby, it says, wept. It says, and she had compassion upon him. That's what we're talking about here. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 13, Jesus had compassion upon a grieving widow. When Jesus saw the widow whose only son was now being carried to his burial, the Bible says he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And then what does he do? He raises her son from the dead. He returns that son to a grieving widow in regards to that. The Good Samaritan, as we've already referenced here, the Good Samaritan had compassion upon a wounded traveler. Now, it is said by some when they evaluate this that the priest, when he came by and passed on the other side, it's possible that he had sympathy for the man. You think about the Levite, as he showed a little bit more initiative, and so he might have been experiencing a little empathy. But the one who showed compassion was the one who took care of their needs. And not only a part of that wonderful plan, but that wonderful plan, right, Sister Woodall, includes the concept of compassion. Where would we be today without the compassion of God? Well, number one, we wouldn't be. It is out of the great compassion of God that we even exist, but that we continue to exist. How many times has humanity grieved God to such an extent that he was ready to destroy us, and yet he saw something in someone, maybe in Noah or in Moses or one or the other, and he saw something. What did he see in Mary and Joseph when he saw that they could take care of the child Jesus as he grew up? What an amazing story redemption really is. But compassion results from discerning a deep need that other people have. And you have to be able to see that need. You have to be able to have some discernment about what's causing that need. Why are they hurting? What do they need? You see, Jesus saw the spiritual needs of the multitude, and the Bible says he had compassion upon them. Notice with me Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36 beginning. The Bible says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad. Now, I want you to notice, how did Jesus know that they had needs? Well, he could see it. When they were scattered abroad and they fainted, he knew that they had a need. But now, notice the discernment as well. The discernment doesn't just lead to the recognition of the problem. The discernment leads to the taking care of the issue at hand. So what was the issue at hand? As sheep having no shepherd. So he had compassion upon the multitude because all of their difficulty, all of their fainting, and all of their being scattered abroad was because there was no shepherd among them. No wonder then Jesus would be described as the good shepherd, right? Then he saith unto his disciples, now notice this, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. And so you have to, you do have to exhibit common sense. Now, common sense doesn't seem to be so common anymore, does it? But this is Jesus saw, he discerned what the problem was, and then he decided to take care of the problem. Now, there are some problems that may be out of our league, as we would say. In other words, I can't handle all of that problem. The resources might have to come from more than just me. But now Jesus could handle any of the problems that existed between God and man, right? He saw the physical needs of the multitude, and he gave them healings. He gave them food when they needed food, right? Notice Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 14. Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed the sick. Notice they were sick, and he had the ability and the opportunity to take care of that need, and his compassion drove him to that particular aspect. Verse 19 and 20, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and then he made a meal for everyone that was there. And they did all eat and were filled. Isn't that interesting? Jesus had compassion. He took care of the need that was before him. Jesus saw the multitude's need for a leader and had compassion on them. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 34. Notice again. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were, remember this, they were a sheep not having a shepherd. Well, how did he know that? Well, it wasn't just the fact that he was God dwelling in human flesh. He could see it, right? We already talked about Matthew's account of this. He saw that they were fragile, right? He saw then that they fainted and were scattered abroad. And so he was able to see and make a discernment in regards to these things. And so he began to teach them many things. In other words, he became the good shepherd. At that, his compassion led him to leadership. That's what we're talking about. Bowels of love, bowels of mercy, bowels of compassion for the sheep. Sheep need that. Sheep are, by the way, we are aptly referred to as sheep in God's word. I wish we had time just for that lesson, but we do need the care. And we do need the compassion of our God and others. Compassion is something that is so important. And in fact, it takes a sense, does it not, of humility. And we've already talked about humility as one of the grand principles and characteristics of life. But it does take a recognition, a humble recognition, and I want to stress this too, that it is important that if I have a need, that I am humble enough to be able to make a plea for someone to take care of that. You know, some needs are never taken care of simply because they are never known. Now, there are some people that are always in need, and it seems as if they are overly needy, and they never can take care of themselves. That is, there are just some people like that. They are physically, emotionally, spiritually not able to take care of themselves. There's an interesting passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want to draw your attention to it at this time, because I think it's so important to us to remember that there are some people who will always be in our need category. Notice what he says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 14. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Now, notice here the category of the feeble-minded and the weak. You always hope that the feeble-minded and the weak will grow to such an extent, but some people are so far back in their emotional, spiritual, and physical condition that they will never be. Listen, I could work till my day is done, and I would never look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Some people have a different structure. I have a different structure than he in regards to that. So as such, I might be able to do a better job at strengthening my physique, but I would never be able to strengthen it to that aspect. So all I'm saying is that there are some people that are feeble-minded, that are weak, that need our constant care. And they may always need that, or they may need that for a long period of time. Some people just need a little boost. You ever notice that? That there are some people that it might be financially, it might be physically, it might be spiritually, but they just need a little boost. You know, you give them a little aid and they're good. But there are some people who need a lot of aid. Wherein some people it might they might need a bill taken care of. They might need some medication given to them. Whereas some people they might need their whole house gutted or something such as that. The different needs that people have in life. Miss Mona makes recognition here, and she says having compassion takes being observant of our brothers and sisters, being involved so that we can see their needs. And I think that's one of the strengths that certain people have. With that, then, it's important to get those needs. Let's say that I'm not the most observant person, and that wouldn't be a big stretch, but then somebody that is says to me, hey, brother or sister so-and-so needs this. I've seen this. You are observant. And so as such, then make sure that you get that information to the people who can actually take care of it. You might be observant, but you have no ability. And so with that ability comes then the responsibility. And so the hopeless and the helpless need to say something as well. Notice in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Now, the Lord of that servant was about to send him to the debtor's prison, until somebody paid off a great debt that he had. He was not going to demonstrate compassion until, did the person have a need? He didn't know. Was he just taking advantage of him, or was he really? So what does he say? He falls on his knees and he says he begs for compassion. You know, pride keeps us from asking for help sometimes. And I realize we are a people that, at least in past generations, you did not ask for help. And in fact, some people would never even think of receiving help. Humility is one that is willing to ask for help when needed. You think about the two blind men that cried out. Matthew chapter 20, notice verse number 30, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they had heard Jesus pass by, cried out, saying, have mercy, compassion on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Notice verse number 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received their sight. Think about the response between Jesus and the blind men. Jesus is walking by. They cry out, have mercy on us. So often you find in the life of Jesus that people cry out. They know that he has miraculous abilities. They want what he offers. Sometimes it's not even in relationship to the physical needs of life. Sometimes it's in relationship to the spiritual needs of life. Help thou my unbelief is more than just a cry for the physical necessities of life. And so you think about the father of a young boy who has an unclean spirit in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 24. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee to come out and to enter him no more. And so it is important. The prodigal son, was he not the same way? Did he not receive? Now the father was always willing. The father was always there. But it wasn't until he came unto himself that he was in his right mind about what life is all about, that he arose and came unto his father. And when he was yet afar off, it says, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse number 20. That could have never happened if he was still in that far country. But he came to ask in humble service to be a servant rather than a son. And what we're talking about are the urgent needs, right? A cry for help indicates not just humility, but it indicates that I have a need and I have a dependence upon someone else for my life and my existence. Now that's a hard thing for us to be able to do. Now most people are reluctant to acknowledge that they have a personal need, let alone to say that I am dependent upon someone else. But I want you to pay attention to this verse, James chapter 4 and verse number 6, in relationship to this. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now that's an interesting verse, is it not? God resisteth the proud. Think about 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17. Now let's change this from the necessity of asking to the necessity of receiving. So 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17, he says, whosoever hath this world's goods, that is you have ability, and seeth a brother hath need, that's opportunity, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now that's really not a question. Is there any possible? No, it cannot dwell in a person like that. And so if I have ability and I have opportunity, then I have responsibility. That's A plus O equals R. That's an old symbol that I used to use, and I've heard it from gospel preachers long ago. That A plus O equals R. How do I know when I personally have a responsibility to give aid? I have the ability, then I have the opportunity. Now, there are judgments to be made, you understand, in regards to whether or not a person is just playing you or whether or not they have a need. It always begins with the need, and we must understand that. That's a good question there, Sister Woodall. Do Christians really crucify themselves? That may be one of the harder things of life. That old man has to, 1 Corinthians, 15 and verse number 34, 36, I die daily, Paul says. that old man has to be crucified on a daily basis. This is why Paul would encourage Timothy as a gospel preacher that wealthy people are urged to distribute to the needy. Listen to the charge that he makes. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. And by the way, don't take advantage of someone who is wealthy if you have need. But if you have need, then utilize the resources that God has supplied. It would be rather foolish for Boaz to leave all of his field corners and all of that that he was supposed to leave under the law of Moses, ready for the poor, ready for Ruth and Ruth's mother-in-law, and then for Ruth never to come by. Well, I don't want to put anybody out, Ruth could have said, and would have failed in her responsibility toward her family. Well, I don't want to be seen as a person that is needy. Well, that she could have argued that, but she was needy. She was in need. She did have that responsibility. And Boaz still had the responsibility whether or not Ruth came by or not. And so we have a responsibility to help them that are feeble-minded. We are to comfort them, and we are to support the weak. And it means that we take care of their needs. No, ma'am, it's certain you are correct. It is certainly not wrong to be rich. It is wrong to have, it's not wrong to have money, but it is wrong to love that money in the aspect of 1 Timothy chapter 6. So it is, there is a big difference in that. Well, Jesus knew, and he drew from the power that he had in order to feed the multitude. He had ability, right? Ability plus opportunity. All this that we have seen thus far is opportunity. Now, ability is important. The Good Samaritan, he had ability. He had ability to even leave some extra with that individual. So, and he said, when I come back, if there's anything else that you're out, then I will take care of. He had resources, in other words, in order to take care of these things. We draw from the resources of God and the resources of a God-given planet and the resources of our own abilities, right? God is able to make you abound and grace abound toward you, that you have all sufficiency in all things. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. That in the context of a financial response, be kindly affectionate toward one another. We're to distribute to the necessity of the saints. Remember that passage in Romans 12, 15? Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. That's not the only things that are stated there, but we're to be kindly affectionate and distribute to the needs of other people. Give, and it shall be given unto you, Luke 6 and verse number 38. We have a beautiful God who has blessed us with all. Now, before we close, I do want to address this, and that is, we're talking about generation to generation and the aspect of compassion. And so how do I develop a compassionate heart in the next generation? Well, number one, we need to focus on the great debt that we have toward God. Now, earlier, Sister Woodall wanted to go there, and I wanted to hold off because she talked about us being lost. She talked about the sacrifice of Christ and things such as that. Listen, when we focus and we get our children, our Bible students need to focus on the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, not just in coming into this in the flesh, but in suffering such as he did. This is why I believe a focus on the cross. Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. A focal point on a society such as ours should be upon the cross. The cost of our salvation is important in regards to that. Number two, enlarge your heart with a prayer list. One of the things that I struggle with and need to focus on is even writing down. Have a pad of paper. It might be your phone, and you keep all of those individuals on there. Sometimes I forget about people. And by the way, that means my heart is not being enlarged toward the needs of those people. If I can't remember them, it is out of sight, out of mind. And so if it's out of sight, out of mind, if it's out of mind, it's out of care. In other words, I'm not caring for a person that I don't remember. And if they're not in my sights, then I can't remember them. And so I like Sister Jensen. She said, I write a prayer every morning. I can't remember or focus unless I write it down. I like that. And you know, you don't have to write out the whole prayer, although I love that. But just write out the things that you're praying for. Paul obviously kept a great list for prayer in regards to have your children do the same thing. Have them get acquainted with the sufferings. And I don't mean cause suffering upon them, but let them see the suffering of other people. See, they need to be able to feel what compassion feels like in order for them. Sympathy and empathy is necessary in carrying out compassion toward other people. Well, my friends, we're over time today. My humble apologies. There are other ways in which we can help develop compassion. Think about some ways that you can help teach other people about compassion and help develop that in your own life. My friends, God bless you and have a wonderful day.